Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Andrew, why don't you come up here? So any of the prophets or prophetesses or in-betweens, if you guys have anything, then we're going to go ahead and just move a little bit, and then we'll take it from there. Do you have anything? Just hold that thought. Praise the Lord. I'll grease the wheel. Hey, amen. Who am I going to grease the wheel with? I don't know. Probably my brother right here. Praise the Lord. That was so good. Thank you for coming tonight. Yes, sir. Amen. Lord, I thank you for my brother. What a blessing he is, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that your word is above any kind of word that would come from the enemy to try to wear my brother out in Jesus' name. He is the accuser of the brethren. He likes to accuse. He likes to put down. He likes to trap us. But in the name of Jesus Christ, you're set free from all that stuff, because God says, by the blood of the Lamb, you've been set free. Not only are your sins are forgiven today, yesterday, but forever. You're an eternal being. You will live in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. And God is going to place within you a new life. For I'm reviving you, says the Spirit of God. I'm giving you a new life. I'm giving you a new hope. I'm giving you new dreams. And God says, start dreaming again, because you were dreaming when you were young and you had all those aspirations of what you wanted to do and what you were going to be. And God says, you need to revive those dreams within your midst. For I am in your midst, says the Spirit of God. I am in to build you up and not to tear you down, to give you more than just a hope. I'm going to give you a life. And though your life and though your adventures and though the things that you've done here and there have gone awry because the enemy tried to capture you, you have been captured by me. And nothing can snatch you out of my hand, says the Spirit of God. For I am doing a new work in your life. I am opening up doors even now to you, says the Spirit of God. So God says, begin to start to dream and dream big again. For I have not only were you talented physically as a young man, you were talented in the intellect, says the Spirit of God. For I have given you an engineer's mind to be able to put things together and tear things apart. But you will be doing these things in my kingdom. You will be putting people's lives back together. And you will tear those things apart that the enemy has done over their lives. For I've made for you tonight even a new flaming fire in your midst. For I will make of you an evangelist in the days to come. I will put my words in your mouth, and you will speak to the heart of the matter of those who are troubled and those who are disturbed and those who have been incarcerated, even, says the Spirit of God. I will give you a word to set them free. For God says, today is a day of new beginnings. Today is a day of new hope. This is my power and this is my strength. And even I heard your cries on your bed, said the Spirit of God. I heard your cry. I heard your cry. So I am weak. I don't know what I can do. And God says, I am going to make you strong in me, says the Spirit of the Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I saw this lady here. I think I stressed without the dollar signs, but then they're all minuses. But the Lord's about to make them all pluses. And I see a really substantial amount of wealth coming your way real soon. I tell you, the enemy's about to try and capture you and take you. I don't know if they're going to try and like put you in a home and come after your finances or something, but the Lord's going to, you stick your guns and the Lord's going to see you through it.
Thank you, Lord.
Right? Oh, yeah. Do you do our food ministry or something, right? What's that? Yeah, but I see you expanding, like doing your own thing. Like the Lord's going to give you a provision. He's going to give you like an opportunity to branch out. And it might even be through that ministry, but I see you like leading it and just, but the Lord just feeding you, man. Just, you know, like the more you stretch out, the more he's going to meet that need.
Thank you.
And I could basically just, you know, everybody... But this is for everyone, and I have to say this, because the Lord's in you. And we're in a season right now of God's favor. And what the Lord's saying to everyone is to let him out. Okay? Let them out. It's time to let them out. Whether it's driving to school, school bus, you know, everybody around you, but there's needs. But now's the time. There's nothing new under the sun, but I'll tell you that God's favor is upon us right now. And his message is to let him out. Because you let him out, he'll show up. He'll shine.
Yeah.
He'll come. I just come back from South Africa, and I've seen stuff that I haven't seen for 25 years. The presence of God was so powerful, so strong. And the scripture I got is Psalm 5, I believe it is. And it says, if you pray to the Lord in the morning, that you can wait expectantly for him to move that day, throughout the day.
Amen.
And then in the end, it says, he'll surround you with favor like a shield. And that's the season we're in.
Yeah.
Right now. So let him out.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Okay. As I was sitting there, first thing I saw was a cross-cut saw. I thought, Lord, what is this about? And then I saw an axe splitting wood. Okay, this got something to do with wood. Then the Lord revealed to me that there are lots of us that have had battering rams of the enemy pushing against us. And the Lord is saying, we're going to take those, we're going to cut them in pieces, and we're going to chop them into firewood.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. The prophecy? Huh? You have a prophecy?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes,
good.
Yes, vision of Saul. Okay, yes. Me and my friend, we're doing hot prayer, hour of tongues. That's what we call it, hot prayer. We just do an hour of tongues. And I saw a line of camels. It was camel after camel after camel. They were being walked by angels. And the angel, the head angel in front of the camel line, had a big white sign about whose house it was going to. And it was going to his people. The angel turned to me and said, it's coming to your house. And it had my name on it. That's why I knew. but all the camel lines had names of people that it's going to. So expect the camels to come. Okay? Provision. And then the next thing I saw is I saw groups of angels coming out. And they were being dispatched there. They were like in square units. They're going here and there and here and there. Then I saw, looked like gazelles, or it was just like a beige animal. And I'm like, they were barking. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And the Lord said, this is the hounds of heaven to nip at the heels of those who should be saved. Get saved. And I saw the hounds of heaven be sent out in packs of 2, 3, and 4. And they'll run that way. Just the hounds of heaven were going to be released. So, hounds of heaven go after those that come out of the
kingdom. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Anyone else?
The lady right here in the front row, was Billy Graham and prophesying to you a moment ago? I have no idea. Oh, okay. Somebody else. I saw you, and it was very interesting. You had a very full dress on, and you were dancing before the Lord. I feel like that's a different pattern than what you normally express. And it felt like the Lord was saying, be fixing to change how you worship and how you respond to him. And all I can say is you were in this flowing dress and you were spinning around, you were moving to a new rhythm and a new dance. So I don't feel it's necessarily just in the natural. It was like the Lord was saying, I'm clothing you with something new and you're going to begin to move in a different realm. A different way, and God's going to surprise you because this is outside your comfort area. I saw this, so and as I walked up, I thought there was a gentleman across that view. But as he was, I was seeing you in this black dress, and you were just spinning and dancing. I felt like it is to alert you that God is fixing to take you in a new way, in a new way of worship, and a new way of serving.
Praise.
Hallelujah.
He felt it in the spirit.
Yes, this is for you. I just see the Lord turning things around for you. I see you looking at yourself and not seeing yourself necessarily as a leader. But God says, I am certainly bringing you up to be a leader because the Word of God is in you. And you're a faithful friend. You're a supporter. You're somebody that when you see somebody has a need, you run to it. You're a gracious man in the eyes of the Lord. And it's just a little thing, but I just see God turning you around totally, changing your mindsets about how you see things, and you're going to have His mindset. And I think things are going to happen rapidly for you, that you're just going to take off on a sprint, and there's going to be a lot of people following you because of who's inside of you.
Amen. Amen.
Light them up.
For you. When I just looked at you, I saw you dressed in warfare. When the Lord says He's taking you to places that a lot of people have never experienced because you've been faithful to Him. And I saw the hours that you spent on your face before Him in His presence. And the Lord said, it hasn't gone unnoticed. You have the attention of heaven. There's going to be a supernatural increase in prophetic gift in you. And the Lord's going to start opening doors for you everywhere you go, more than what you do now. You're going to sense the fire of God in your hands. When you lay hands on people, the fire is going to come. Thank you, Lord, for the increase right now. Father, I just see Him laying oil over you right now. The oil of His presence. Hallelujah. It's okay. You stood for a lot of people for a long time. Now He wants to stand for you. I don't know you. I don't know nothing about you. But I saw that immediately when I looked at you when you started to speak. Hallelujah. And Lord, right. What's your name, Penny? Is that correct? Yes.
Paige.
I'm sorry. The Lord says that you're His daughter.
Says you're
His daughter. Oh, yeah. Okay, understand me. I'm not used to this. I'm just keying on the streets. So, I see.
There you go.
See the Lord calling you His daughter. He's seen your tears. He's seen your tears. He counts them all in a bottle. None of them gone to waste. And the Lord's going to restore some things in your family. It's time for restoration to come. This battle has come to an end. And the Lord is your leader. All you have to do is stand still and know the salvation of God. Wow. There's an anointing on you that's incredible. And you just have to realize it. And just like Andrew said, that's part of my message. He's inside of us, you just gotta let Him out. Let Him out. Now break off fear and doubt and unbelief in you. And release the prophetic gift. Words of knowledge. Especially for the people around you, you're gonna see them get set free. There are people around every one of us that just need a word. And I'm not talking about like this, I'm just talking about, hey, you know, I just want to pray for you. And you're going to see salvation come in your home. Hallelujah. Let's see. I thought He brought sight over you. And I was stealing this from the Lord. Let's just see, the enemy is trying to kill you because of the seed that's been planted in you. And let it grow, let it overtake you just like a garden. Let this garden come to you. Embrace the process. It's not going to be good, it's not going to be easy. But the reward is well worth it.
use all of them. Lord, I ask you to have, open up the faith within me to see you. See you, Lord, to see your face, to hear your voice, not a man's. If you want me, anybody else to teach him with you, the voice was made to visit you. Mm-hmm. And it's really since that right now, the Lord's going to visit you. And he's going to be your father.
Amen.
And he's going to be your father. The element is in this. I don't stand before you flatly. Your past is washed away. Don't go back. Just rip off the root of your past. You can't go forward looking back.
That's right.
Any man lays his hand to the plow, can't look back. Sweet plowing.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Slow. I'll tell you, I can line them up.
Amazing worship.
Hey, you know, okay, can I just share a little bit about that worship? Yeah. And I share this everywhere I go. You know, y'all know me, I'm a worshiper. And it's the only thing we can do for him. When we worship him, he comes. Yeah. You know, and I always use this example. It was 10 lepers, right? They were all healed. But only one came back and worshiped him. And he was made whole. I want to be made whole.
Amen.
Well, you know, sometimes I get in, I mean, y'all don't mess me up. I get into worship, I don't want to go nowhere else. I could stay here the rest of my life. And you know what? That's what it's going to be like. You know, I'll play the song again. When John said, I saw a sea of people, and they worshiped day and night. That's what I want to do. Just worship him and be at his feet. Wow. Lord, I just ask you to awaken the kingdom in everybody here tonight. Awaken the kingdom inside of us. Stir up every gift. Father, I thank you for it. And let us hear your voice. We want to hear your voice, Lord. Because if you ever speak a word to us, it'll change our lives forever. And I thank you for it.
Amen.
Thank you,
Tom. Amen. You're welcome. Thank you. No, you need to apologize. Well, worship team, you can all sit down in your seats, and if you can find one. They'll stay up here the whole time if I don't dismiss them. It's making me nervous to have these prophetess sitting behind me like that. Never know what kind of face they might have when I'm preaching. So if I see something wrong, and you know, it's going to get that look, and then it's not going to work out. Amen. I'm just kidding. Amen.
That's right.
Am I on now? Good. Okay. Thank you. No reason to duplicate. All these words that were just spoken will be on our website. And if you go to TGOSC.com, they will be there. Give our Lewis some time to post and stuff, but that's our website. Just think of the Gathering of South Carolina and just abbreviate those letters, TGOSC.com. And you can get those words. It's good to get your words because if they're from the Lord, it's good to hear them again. And I like to put mine in chronological order. I've got a tape at home of stuff I've had back from the 80s. And I've shared that, but it's amazing just when you get a word from the Lord, it's from him and it comes to pass in ways you couldn't even have figured it out, you know. It's like the word I spoke earlier, my brother here, I mean, the Lord's going to make him into an evangelist. He has no idea at all how that's going to work out, but I'll tell you, it'll work out if it's from the Lord. You know, because it says that his word can't return to him void. You know? So when he says something, it's like he releases power. And unseen realm, things start to happen. Things start to shake. And, you know, and it's a divine appointment for you tonight and many others here, you know? So it's just really a blessing. So I'm going to encourage you to get those and listen to them and, you know, let the Lord confirm everything. You know, it's everything needs to be judged. We can't just, you know, I remember I got a word once and God said he was going to make me his mouthpiece, but I wasn't any more the mouthpiece of God when I walked out the door than when he gave me that word. But over a period of time, hopefully, you know, that worked out. But I remember first getting that, you know, and kind of looking, you know, to my wife and said, you know, hey, you better listen because I'm the mouthpiece of God. No, I didn't say that, by the way. I'm just saying that for those of you, if you get that word, don't you dare say that to your wife because she'll say, well, oh, yeah. No, but the Lord can make us into what he wants to make us into, and he have his way. Well, let's read a scripture here. We'll get into the word. The Lord God, yes, sir? Somebody say something. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple as one who is taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I've not been rebellious, nor have I turned backward. Father, we just thank you for your grace in this place. We just thank you for your presence and how you've already moved in our midst and just touched different people, Lord, through the worship and through just the words, Lord God, and everything that you do. So, Holy Spirit, we just ask you to continue to minister and to manifest yourself here whichever way you see fit. We just give you all the glory and all the honor, and we just love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter 2. As I was waking up this morning and going out to my the upper room, which is actually my deck, Lord had dropped this into me pretty quickly, so I was very thankful about that. And we'll see how much of it I get to actually share. But this, I believe this is a very important word for you and for ministers alike, but it's something that you need to be thinking about a little bit more probably. So anyway, I'm just going to go ahead and give it, and we'll see how it plays out, right? I'm in Revelation chapter 2, starting at verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands, says this, I know your deeds, and your toil, and your perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. And so we know that Jesus is the head of the church. And it's a big lesson I think a lot of people have got to know, that he is the head. There's no other, there will be no other God before him. He is he's got that position. He's very secure in it. So he definitely is critiquing the churches. He critiques us. And we can tell by the word that he does do that. In this particular situation with the church at Ephesus, he gives them some, you know, you've done this, you've done this. He says that they basically didn't tolerate evil men. They've, you know, tested the apostles and found some to be false. It says that they persevered and they endured, but they lost their first love. And so you can become overly focused on ministry and identifying false religions, things like that. You can get involved and be in that kind of thing to the point, Lish, that they were, the point to where they lost their first love. And love is what is important in loving God. Do you love God? I mean, you know, and I just say that because the answer, of course, is of course we love God, but I want to spend some time on that. Do you love him? because I want you to leave here tonight knowing that you do love him, but also knowing how to love him, because it's important. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, when you know, my wife comes and showers me with kisses and hugs and tells me how wonderful I am, and I'm just stay hold that thought for a little bit. You know, I like it. And you know, she did some of that last week. We went to a wedding, it was great, you know, and just go to a wedding and it just, you know, the newlywed anointing comes and all that stuff. And but I want to give it back to her, you know, and so I reciprocate and tell her how much I love her. And when it comes to the Lord, I don't know about you, but I want to express my love to him. And we do it with our words and we do it with our heart. But there's more to it than that. And I want to point out some things tonight that if you really want to give even more of an expression, that you there's ways that you can even do that. And I know some of you are still maybe running on that train, that perfection train, you know, that's going 100 miles an hour into a wall, thinking that, well, if I just get good enough, or I put this down and put down that, and then I, you know, then when I tell them I love them, then it'll be really sincere. And you know, but the point is, you aren't going to be able to get there like that. You can't earn any of this. There's nothing to be earned here. You have to understand that. I mean, you cannot earn grace. It is a free gift. And even if you did stop putting down everything that you're trying to put down and all that's been taken care of, there's going to be something else. Because you can't spend time in the presence of God and spend time with the Lord and not be aware of your need for grace. For that need for grace is never going to leave you. It's good that you got it. I mean, it really is good that you've got a need for grace and recognize that you have a need for grace. In fact, some of you may today recognize your need for grace more than you did 5 years ago. And it's not that you're living any worse or any better. It's just that we have need for grace. And grace is a free gift. An enemy will do everything in his power to try to get you to try to earn it, to try to create some kind of false religion where you can actually earn heaven. You can never earn it. It's free grace. And so we've been given a free gift from God. It's an awesome thing. But I want to express my love back to him. So, you know, in Galatians 5, chapter 6, there's an interesting verse here that kind of stuck out in my thoughts. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. I could go up to verse 1, but we're just going to go verse 6. It says, "For Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love." Faith worketh by love. Now, I want you to understand something about the love of God that is connected to faith, your belief. And love is what unlocks a lot of this power that you're seeing manifest here and manifest through your lives. I recognize and understand that the love of God is the catalyst. It is the river, what I call it, the river. It's the river that I try to stay in. I don't want to get out of that river of love, because I know as soon as I do, that a lot of stuff that God does in my life and through me and through others can be stopped. And so you have to be very sensitive to, how do I stay in that river of love? What really is the river of love? What do you mean faith worketh by love? You know, I mean, it just, these are the kinds of things that you have to find out for yourselves as you walk with the Lord. But the love of God, that when God loves people, it's like my brother here. I didn't see him walk in. I don't even know when you came in. I was sitting up there. But I was drawn to him in the spirit through love. I didn't call or go to him any other way. I'm not going to approach his life without love, because love gives me entrance in to speak into the potential of his heart. And not only that, by following the river of love, I'm following the Lord Jesus, who loves him unconditionally. And what he might want to say to him will come out of that river. And so if I'm going to be effective in ministry, I must be moved with compassion, which is another word for love, which we know that Jesus was. He wasn't moved by anything else. I didn't come over to my brother here because of his yellow shirt. Although I like it. It's bright, it's sunny. It makes me feel like he's my friend. But that is not what drew to me to you, okay? What drew me to him was love. And so a lot of the, maybe some of you other brothers and sisters that were prophesying, maybe you were aware of that, but this is something I'm always aware of with my walk with the Lord, with my encountering, not just in ministry capacity, but also just in my daily interactions with people, you know, regardless of where I'm at. But once again, like in everything else, like I tell you here, you have to have a sensitivity of walking in the Spirit. It must be something that is really becomes a reflex in your life. It's something that gets turned on in the morning. That's why we read this scripture, he wakens me morning by morning. You know, who woke you up this morning? You know, was it the bird? Was it the cat trying to get into the back room where my wife is? Or was it the Lord, you know? I think it was the Lord prior to the cat. But there was a combination of stuff there, but neither say, I want him to wake me up, so I must think about it when I get in the morning. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught. That's one of the reasons why the Lord has us read that here every time we meet, is because he wants to wake you up in the morning. And when you get woken up by the Lord, it's a wonderful thing. He's not going to do anything else except to energize you and encourage you and empower you for your day. Amen?
Amen.
So faith worketh by love. You know, faith makes a person seek the will of God. Faith makes a person seek the will of God, and love tells him what that will is. Let me read that again. Faith makes a person seek the will of God. Love tells him what that will is. And so love is not, and love is a person. His name is Jesus Christ. And so, you know, that's maybe a little bit of a play on words, but I thought about that today, that love tells me what his will is. Love tells me what the will of God is over my brother's life. You know, because that is the way that the power and the move of the gifts of the Holy Spirit should operate, because they are not just words of knowledge, they're not just prophetic words, they're not just words of encouragement, it's not just power, it's love that manifests with it. And when you minister in that capacity, it takes a much deeper root. It's like the word has more in it than just the word. It's got a little fertilizer. And you know, have you seen that? I can never figure out, you know, how they do it, but they spray that stuff on the side of the road when they're making a highway, and the grass comes up, and it's green, and it's thick. And you're sitting there working on your lawn for months, and you can't get anything that looks like that. Well, the word of the Lord, when it's sown in love, true love, and you minister out of that, it has that type of response, mm-hmm. where something could grow quick, mm-hmm. something that's more fertilized, it carries more power. And you truly have seen this, because you see different ministries when they prophesy, and they, you know, some people, they just seem like, man, when they get, they, man, it's just another person over here, it's a good word, but it's they're learning. But the way you learn, the way you grow, is to grow in love. And the only way to grow in love is to grow in love for him. And that should be something that is continuing on, where you can look back and say, man, I love him so much more today than I did 5 years ago. But there's other expressions of that love in you for him, and we're going to get into that. Now, in John chapter 21, you're probably very familiar with this verse. And you know, when you read this verse, it just really, it always gets to me when I read this. But this is the part where Jesus is, this is the third time I think he manifests himself to his disciples. And they decided they were going to go out and go fishing. And so they did. But of course, they didn't catch anything all night long. And of course, Jesus is on the shore, and I think he already fixed a fire and some stuff, and calls out to them and says, hey, why don't you throw your nets on the other side, you know? And so they did it, and of course, they caught 153 fish. Now, why in the world is 153? People have studied that number. I found out because I started to dig today and drill down. Well, it must mean something. Man, I couldn't believe how many people came up with stuff over 153. And finally, I just said to myself, you know, one thing that Tim put out, I read one thing, it says, well, it was 153 just to prove that it was an actual account that Peter just said it was 153. Now, maybe that's true, or maybe it has something to do with something else. But it was 153 fish, exactly. And that was a good fishing trip, amen? And so and it just shows you one thing. You know, he sits there and gives them something to do that has nothing to do with reality and nothing to do. It's just completely just, you wouldn't even do it in a natural. And that's the way God is sometimes when it comes to the blessings of God. He directs you to say, oh, hey, go ahead, go over and do this. And all of a sudden you get this result. So that's provision from the Lord. Amen. And he loved his disciples and courted them. I mean, that was a great quantity of fish for them, and I'm sure they made some money on that as well. Anyway, in verse 12, Jesus tells them to come and have breakfast, and he's talking to them a little bit. And so then it says in verse 15, so when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Now here's a directive from the Lord to me. Now I knew that people can study the different Greek words of love here and stuff like that. I'm not into that tonight, okay? But what I'm trying, the principle is this, is that Jesus is giving him a way to love him. You know, love languages, you know, the ones you're supposed to study, husbands, wives. You know, my love language is if I clean, I'm a cleaner, you know? So if I love you, I clean stuff. You know, that's part of my love language. You know, now that's not my wife's love language at all. She wants to be cuddled and kissed and just, you know, that's her love language, you know? And so I meet her and then once in a while she'll clean some things and then she loves me back, amen? So the point is, Jesus is giving us here some information about his love language. How we love him. He said, tend my lambs. Now, you guys are all ministers, whether you know it or not. And you all will give an account to the Lord for whether you completed your mission on this earth or not. But you have a flock. You say, well, yeah, I'm not a pastor in church. I'm not that. I said, no, no. You've got one because everybody you know. You have responsibility for the people who you know. You need to pray for them. You need to call them up maybe, or whatever it might be, but you know, you need to take responsibility, whether, you know, however many people that might be. When you get up in the morning, the Lord wakes you up in the morning, he might give you somebody's face or somebody's name or something, but there's always something going on in the realm of the spirit to fulfill this. So this is his love language. So when you say you love the Lord, you can really do something by tending the lambs. Those are the little ones. To me, that speaks to children, you know, almost, you know. The little lambs, you know, shepherd my sheep. You know, those that need guidance that are around there, you know, in your life, you know. And tending the sheep. I mean, tending to people's needs. You know, these are things that are expressions that are something that are available to us on a daily basis. And when you think about it, I mean, a person's mind who's set on loving God, like Paul said, The Apostle Paul said this. He said, my determined purpose in life is to know him and to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. To know him. To know someone, you've got to love them. Love is the strongest motivator to get to know somebody that there is. You know, when you first started dating your wife or you're dating your husband or whatever, and that first time, and you know, that you really just felt that inside of you for somebody, man, you would do anything. You know, I remember back in the day, you know, I'd be sitting there just looking at the phone. And I said, but God, I call her. I want to call that girl. It's like, oh, I just want to call her. I want to call her. And pick up a John. What if her mom answers? That's back in the day. You know, we didn't have texting. You had to get guts up, you know. And then you'd get somebody on the phone, and it was her sister, and it wasn't her, and you said something goofy. And I mean, you know, just there was a lot of just nervousness involved because you love somebody. And you just want to be with that person. Now, we're talking about the God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. So there's a lot of people that, you know God as creator. They know him theologically, but they don't know him intimately. And yet that is the purpose for our life. The purpose for your existence is to know him and to love him. And the expression of that love is to others that he actually created. You know, he died for all of humanity, especially the ones that you and I don't like. Those are the ones that, and you can get, let me tell you, saints, there is a place in the Lord where you can truly love your enemies. You know, I went through a lot many years ago. I went through, you know, a situation where, you know, I went through a divorce. My wife had another person in her life, and, you know, that was just crushing me. It was hard on me. It was very hard on me. But I had to love them. I had to pray for them. You know, Lord, you know, if you want to burn this car up, it's okay. I'm not fighting you. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You know, you go down that road. No, but that's not it. You have to pray for them. It's something that you have to do. But when you do it out of obedience, and then you do it from the heart of the Lord can open up your eyes. See, you can love someone who does something bad to you because you can look at them through the Lord's eyes on the cross where he said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. See, he looked at me like that. Because when I sinned and when I fall, I mean, he could throw me into hell. But he chooses to love me because he created me. And he sees something in me that makes him want to be my father. Family. We're family. And so you have to get to that place with your love walk. Love, that's why Jesus, like I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm just telling you that you've got to get to that place. And so John and Peter and all those disciples, they heard this and they went out and they did it, okay? Because Jesus said to Peter, said, you know, you're going to be a fisherman of men. His word went over his life at that time when they first met, and it came to pass over a period of time and over a lot of circumstances. Remember, he's the one that denied him 3 times. I mean, think about that for a second. He denied the Lord, and yet he's now, and the Lord has risen in front of him. I mean, I'm sure he felt like just complete crap. And no way, you know, but God had a plan for him. So this is the Lord's love language. It's one of the love languages, and that is to feed his sheep. So look well to your flocks. Okay, let's go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I'm in verse 34. Just hold there just for a second. Verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So he gives some real specifics there about love. He says that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So we are to love one another as Jesus loves us. And the result and the fruit of that is all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You see, this is a real key because, you know, you're trying to follow the Lord. You want to be involved in ministry. You've got all that motivation. But one of the proof that you actually are a disciple is that you love the body of Christ, that we truly love them as He loves us. And so that's why it's important to have intimacy with the Lord, because you can get to know in some great detail of how He loves you. And when he doesn't, sometimes it's like He doesn't bring things up that I would think He would bring up with me. He seems to be more concerned with imparting to me solutions. It's almost like He's overlooking this other part because He's already taken care of it through the shed blood. And yet we continually, I just sometimes continually bring up things. Now, I don't bring it up with my words like I'm speaking to you. It's in my mind. And I know He reads it. There's nothing hidden from Him. You see, when you get in that presence, it's like it's not even a conversation to me sometimes. Like I'm not informing you because you know what I'm going to say before I say it. And yet even my thoughts, I can't even think fast enough to keep up with the Holy Spirit. But yet He desires that conversation. He desires that time. Your family. He loves you. And you can spend time with Him. In that environment, you can spend time with a being, the God, who knows everything about you, and yet He wants you, and He loves you, and He accepts you. That kind of love disarms everything. There's nothing that can win on that battlefield. And so this is how you approach humanity. Because when Paul said, I desire to know the power outflowing from His resurrection. What was the power outflowing from the resurrection? It was God so what? Loved the world that He gave. That is the power of God. And that is what is inside of you and me. And you are strategically placed in people's lives to let that love shine out through you to touch them. And when you become aware of it and you start to exercise it, there's no end to it. Then every day becomes the same day. He wakens me morning by morning. You know, I had that word given to me last week. I shared with you that God didn't want me to be concerned about things anymore. And He said that, spoke it to me, and then I went over and I was talking to my brother Lewis back there, said, God's telling me He doesn't want me concerned about anything anymore. And then Penny comes 2 minutes later, walks in the door, walks straight over to me in the beeline, says, God's got a word for you. And what is it? God says, don't be concerned anymore. Amen. I got the word. It was something that He could give me because it was a way my mind works that made it easier for me to be able to apply it. Because concern is something I could identify. Worry was a little bit harder. Concern always gets me. I know, now what am I doing? You know, I on the way over here, I someone's been trying to steal my identity, by the way. I had a great time with the Lord back there praying for these people who are trying to steal. I have been put in touch with these people who are thieves. They're touching my anointing. No, it wasn't like that. They are touching my anointing. They are. I'm anointed in love. You know what? I don't know their names. I don't know who they are. But somehow now we're connected. I've got a right. In fact, I've got an obligation to pray for these people right now. They have no idea of what they've done. They are oblivious. I mean, you know, it's like the enemy's trying to steal, and you're stealing the thieves from him. But he tried to get me concerned about it, and I'd give Lex a ride up here every time. Capital One calls me out of the blue, and I know it's something. And so I get on the phone, I get a person that I can't understand them. I don't know what country they're from, but I can't understand them. It's so thick, and I'm sitting there getting a little bit frustrated. And I said, you know what? I am not falling into this trap. I just can't understand, but it's okay. You have a great day. I hung up. I go, I am not going in down this road. This is the enemy trying to lay a trap before I even get here. I'm not concerned about that. I went off on a tangent. I'm sorry. I'm back. Come back. Pull me back in here. John chapter 15. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Man, you read those scriptures, man, and you just can go, oh, ask whatever you wish. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. But see, that's the key. There is always some type of condition there. It's not something that's earned. It's something that is done. You've already got entrance into the Holy of Holies. We sang about that tonight. But he says, if you abide in me, and then it goes, and my words, abide in you. How is his words going to abide in me? It's by talking to him. Yeah, it is reading the scriptures, and it is praying, and it is worship, but it's by just talking to him like you would talk to anybody. You have the conversations and he speaks. And yeah, well, God will say, well, Todd, how does he speak? Well, you have thoughts. It's the thoughts. The thoughts that come from God are pure love. There's no shade, there's no darkness in it. It's pure light. It's easy to identify because it lifts you up. And not only that, when God speaks sometimes there is correction in his voice, or adjustments, I would say, in his voice. And you know, nobody does that to themselves. That's another way to identify him. One time the Lord told me to build a spotting rig for a trampoline for a guy that was trying to kick me out of a pool and get rid of me. He had a need. He needed that equipment, and I knew how to build one, and I could do it at cheap cost, and Holy Spirit was dealing with me. This was years ago. I was very green, but I did it. I had to get all my steel from a junkyard. I got bit by mosquitoes. I'll never forget. I put it together for him. And he never really thanked me for it, but he did take credit for building it. he took credit for building it. He didn't even build it. I built it. I mean, he took credit for it anyway. You know? But the Lord was teaching me something. He was telling me to do something that was not something that I would have done. And that's when he speaks to you. Sometimes it gives you, you know, assignments like that. But you know, when you have those assignments, that's just one of many interactions. So if his words are going to abide in me, I must talk with him. I don't want to avoid him. I want to talk with him. And you're talking to him, I'm assuming, but you can go out and have a conversation with him tonight. And don't, hey, it's okay. If somebody comes in and you're talking, and they think you're talking to yourself, that's okay. I came in, I came out of the room, who are you talking to? She says, I'm just having a good conversation in here. And you know, she's such a free little person. I just love her. She's just talking away. So, you know, I thought I might listen in, see what maybe I could pick up, you know. It's interesting to hear somebody talking to God, and you know, you don't hear that other voice coming back, and then they make a response, and then it's like, oh my gosh, this is wonderful. I love hearing this. I love to hear somebody else having that conversation. I'm not the only crazy one in here, you know, but you're not crazy. They're the best conversations that there are. You know, he's always the wonderful counselor. He always brings you at peace, you know? And when he tells me, say, I don't want you to be concerned about anything, it keeps coming up in my spirit. It's something that took, it was different. Because, you know, we know we're not supposed to worry, read the scripture, and I'll sit there and I'll preach to you and say, don't worry, worried, something like that, and I go, I got to walk it out. That's one of the hardest things about being a minister. You're going to find that out if you're not already finding out. You got to walk it out. You got to do it. But you also can't come off to people like you've arrived. You know, you have a function, I have a function, I'm delivering the word, you whatever, you know, you've got functions too. But I'm not arrived yet. And you don't base your faith on me. You base it on the Lord. We're all just working it out. Amen. That's very important. So many people are following ministers today that are leading them to deception. There's so much deception out there. And people flock to ministers, and they're not flocking to the Lord. See, when you stand in the presence of the Lord, I don't care what minister's in front of me. There's no comparison. I can have the President of the United States in front. Yeah, I respect, but I'm sorry. I've seen the Lord. Where are we going to go from here? I mean, what you know, you could read everybody's mail in here, but he knows what you're going to say before you say it. Can you do that? I mean, come on. So quit following, you know, these crazy people that are just want disciples to themselves. Just stop doing it. You can learn from I've learned from a lot of ministers. Believe me, I have. I'm thankful for a lot of them. You know, I threw on something today just to back up what I was in. It was wonderful, confirming some things. I do that. You should be doing that too. But we don't worship ministries. We worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're all serving Him, and we all work together. Besides, we're in a time and a season now where God is moving among the body of Christ. What my brother was sharing earlier. That is the move of God. You know, if God wanted me to plant a church, I would have to find out all the houses that are all around here for, 3 miles out, maybe more. I'd have to go house to house to find out who's saved, who's not saved, if they'll tell me. Maybe send out a team. I mean, we're going to be serious about it. I would have probably a map and, you know, of all the addresses and the houses and, you know, they're saved here. They're not. These churches are not. Okay. All right. Well, intercessors, I tell you what, we got 103, 104, 105, or when we'll find their names out, okay, so we can, you know, not just call them by numbers. And let's intercede for them. I mean, let me be serious about it. I guarantee you won't find one church in this city that does that. Not one. That's why we need you. I heard that. Why don't you go do it, Todd? I heard you. You talk to him. I'm under orders. But I'll tell you what, if God said do something, I'd do it. That came from him. That didn't come from me. I've done a church, a few of them, you know. They were, you know, whatever they were, but they did something, but I don't know. Didn't do what I just said. I was too busy getting a good sound system. Too busy collecting the recruiting, using my recruiting technique from coaching diving and try to get people to come. And it just, you know, we've lost our true love. And see, when we love the Lord and we are following Him, these are the kinds of things that He puts in us and not empowers us to do it, because we love Him enough. We love the sheep, tend the sheep, to go out to the sheep. You don't just walk by one house and say, well, yeah, I'm not like those sheep down there. I don't know about these. I don't know, but there's something about the wrecker in the front and the there's something about the landscape of that house. I'm not so sure I want to go down that house, you know, with the dogs and so. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we judge people by all kinds of different observations with our eyes. So, anyway, I've been meddling. Let's go on. John 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. There's another love language here I'm seeing. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Because obviously, if his words abide in you and you're abiding in him, what are you going to be asking? You're going to be asking what the Holy Spirit is asking in you. He says, I'll meet the desires of your heart. Well, now the desires of your heart are his desires. Now you're hooked up, as we say. And now, boom, the results start to come. Ask whatever you wish. What would you ask? You're going to ask for things like the disciples asked, like the apostles asked. We need boldness. While you stretch out your hand and perform signs and wonders. You know, the beginning of the church, we seen, look, that church, that these guys were mature. Have you ever read Corinthians and the people, have you ever read about the Corinthians? That's just one group, one congregation. They weren't mature. It was the beginning. Yeah, these apostles, they moved in power. We need to move in power today. And so there's some maturity in that group. But I'm talking about the body. I mean, hopefully we're a little further along today than they were back then. I don't know. I'm not God. But I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes we look at that and say, oh, well, they really had it together back then. I mean, one guy had somebody's mother's for his wife. I don't know what it was. Father's wife? Yeah, something messed up. So anyway. Proves my point. Thank you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. So bearing fruit glorifies the Father. It's a way that I can express my love to him if I can bear some fruit. Verse 9 says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Here's Jesus showing us the example. He shows us how to move in the gifts. He shows us how to use the armor. He shows us how to love. He shows how what he did and how he did it. He says, just as the Father has loved me, he turns around and says, I have loved you. He says, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So abiding in the love of God causes you to follow the commandments of God. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. So there's another way to express your love by loving others the way that he has loved you. You know, sometimes, you know, we heard that, you know, when people were raised, let's say they had bad parents or whatever, and you grow up and, you know, you have kids and you do the same thing to your kids or whatever, and that does happen. But here you have an illustration of your Father in heaven. And by spending and abiding time in him and spending time with him, you receive that love from him and you turn and give that same love to everyone you come in contact with. That's why Jesus said, I command you to love one another. He wasn't suggesting, I command you to love one another. This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. We overlooked that one. No longer I call you slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. We talked about that last week, about the appointment. And appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. So you see that there's so much tied up in this commandment. This is why Jesus kept driving this home to his disciples over and over and over again. And he didn't like it when they had disagreements with one another. But he pointed out the way to him, and he always said, you know, I'm loving you the way my Father loves me. Why? Because he wanted to reveal to the world who the Father was. I mean, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because the world had this idea, the Jews had this idea about God just sending up the baseball bat ready to knock everybody over. But what Jesus revealed to the world is this love that he has for the world. So, one more scripture. You know, I'll pull out the Amplified Bible because it's heavier. It's the real word. Everybody has their favorite Bible. Never forget going to a church down in Augusta. All they read was the King James, and you couldn't read anything else, and nothing else was it. And I pull out an Amplified Bible. They look like they wanted to kill me for two reasons. One reason is I didn't know at the time, I was back in my early days, they had a strange doctrine. They believed they actually could live in their body forever. And so my message was, your life is a wisp of vapor. You're here and you're gone. And then on top of that, I'm ministering out of the Amplified Bible. And these people, the look on their faces was priceless, because I said, I'm very uneasy, but so I'll just start prophesying now because this is the only way, one way I can get out of this. So I started ministering. And then I ministered to the lady, Sister Matthews, that she's going to hear utterances that men aren't allowed to hear, so she ain't going to be here. I mean, I could have just said you're going to die, but I wasn't that far along in the Lord yet, and but I sat and I wondered what I just said to her. There's only one way that's going to happen. And it did happen. She died. Not then, but, you know, it would happen shortly thereafter. So I'm bringing the Amplified Bible out tonight. FYI. See, Patty, you didn't know I had those wild experiences. I had them. I had some strange beliefs out there, believe me. And Leland Davis had a prophecy over me. He said that I would be sent to the make-believes, loose livers, people like that, you know? And I didn't know what that meant. But man, I tell you, that's all I ran into for quite some time. Thank God you're here. Now, you're not loose livers. I want you all to know that. You're not. That's not you. But you're laughing over there. Anyway, let's get out of this. I'm 1 Corinthians 13. Now, this is the definition of love. Now, so, because, you know, sometimes we say, you know, I want to love, you know, you're commanding me to love one another, and I want to love one another, but I just need some guidance here, Todd. Just define love for me, will you? And so I'm going to read this, because this is probably the best definition of love. Now, this is the love of God. This is the way God loves us. And, you know, that's the way I look at it. It says, verse 4 says, love endures long, and it is patient and kind. Love never is envious or boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited. It is not rude. It does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of an evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. So love is eternal. And there's so many things in that that is applicable when you are trying to really grasp what the love of God is and you need something to look at in Scripture. This is just the best one that I know that there is. Now, we also see this being played out the way that Jesus interacted, the way he healed, I mean, the miracles that he performed, the teachings behind them. All of these things are just representation of the way that he loved. But I like this, you know, love bears up under anything and everything that comes to it. It is ready to believe the best of every person. And this is one of the keys of the gifts of the Holy Spirit to me, is that when you want to speak into the potential of somebody's life, and that's not something, well, I want to minister. I mean, when you, it's just part of you. When you know that you're called to build people up and it's not something you got to even think about, when that is so prevalent inside you, that is what gives you entrance in the power of the Holy Spirit to speak a word of the Lord to somebody. That's why it's there. And you know, you'll sense, you'll know that when somebody needs to be built up, because you're being moved with compassion and love and a real concern, because you're looking towards your flock on a daily basis. And you realize that God might want to add a few more people to your flock, you know? And so you're always aware, you're always sensitive. You're just, it's like you're constantly moving, you know? That's what it says, the Spirit of God, how the Spirit of God moves, and how they don't know where it comes from or where it's going. You know, you just get up and you just move. And when you do, see, the life that you've got is so awesome. Think about it. We're eternal beings, never ever to die. And we have a God that loves us and wants to teach us how to love other people as he loves us, and use us to give an expression of his love. And no matter what this world spits back at us, it can't do anything. Because he who walks in love, the wicked one, touches him not.
Amen.
The wicked one. Where are you? I haven't seen you in such a long time. I don't miss you. But every time I think about you, I just want to love somebody. Yeah, he likes to be big and mean, and you know, you just kind of, you know. But see, even Michael didn't bring a railing charge against Satan when he was trying to get Moses' body to do whatever he was going to do with it. He said, "The Lord rebuke you." And why is that in the Bible? That is to tell us something. It's somebody that powerful, which could bring a railing charge against Satan, just says, "The Lord rebuke you." There's nothing really more to say. The wicked one, he who walks in love, the wicked one touches him not. Oh, that's in somewhere in the first epistle of John. Yeah, it's in there somewhere. I could try to find it. In the Amplified Bible, I probably have it underlined. Pretty sure it's in the first epistle of John. There's another one. There is no fear in love, but full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. He who is afraid has not reached full maturity of love, has not yet grown into love's complete perfection. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has not seen cannot love God whom he has seen. And this is the command or charge we have from him, that he who loves God shall love his brother also. What is it?
5:18.
Amen. This has been good tonight. I feel in my spirit that some stuff went in us tonight that we can carry out of here. It seems to me what the Holy Spirit is really doing is bringing us into a real focus with our life right now that we have from him. And is reminding us of some things. There's been a few people in here tonight that you've been given some real solutions to really break free. You've been trying to get some free, and you've been given some real solutions tonight. You know, and I really believe that that's always the way that God is. He always gives us something to work on that gives us solutions and leads us out of the wilderness. You know, some of us may be in a wilderness. Maybe you're in a desert right now. You know, but he can take and break a river in a desert. And he can make a path in a wilderness, because he's not going to leave you in the situation that you're in. But for two reasons: if you've been in a situation, you probably got about 30 people already praying for you, or at least 5 or 6 that have. And then all the people that you're praying for that maybe be here tonight to get set free, they'll get set free. But then all the people that are home and that you're engaged in, and many of you are really engaged in some really serious ministry, and you're really starting to see some real results. But just know this, there's the one thing that you're engaged in where you're not seeing any change at all, or you're really not seeing the change you want to see, I would submit to you that love would be the answer there.
Amen.
Because love never fails. And it never gives up. It's, you know, the thing is, the love in the world is finite. It's based on performance. But the love of God is eternal. And it's a constant supply. And so just know this, that when it comes down to really bringing change into somebody's life that you really care about, and the ones that are family and things that are close, those are the most difficult ones, but it's also the easiest ones because you really do have somewhat of a foundation of love there, but you have to get to the place where you begin to see them as the Lord sees them. Because, you know, the thing is, when I was coaching people, the Lord would always give me a picture of where they would be, and I would sculpt them as he would lead me to be that athlete or be able to do that performance or whatever. So when you're looking at people that you're ministering with, you have to sometimes wait for at least 3 levels of discernment. If you're just moving the first level of discernment, where all you're doing is seeing what's wrong with them, that's all you're going to be seeing. But you have to be able to get with the Lord, and you have to let him hook into you where he can see what God is going to do about it, how he is going to make it. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you can even talk or speak to that person or do anything, because the first 2 phases are all intercession. You intercede, God shows you in front of you. Now, you may in your own mind size a person up and say, you know what, they got there, you know, and all, that's your assessment, okay? God's assessment is much more thorough. Because he can go back and show you why they are the way they are and why they made the decisions. And he can go way back and give you all kinds of details. Probably you don't even want to know, but that he could do that, okay? But also, too, he can show you what he's going to do about it. He can give you a picture of them being whole or changed or whatever it might be. But those 2 are just simply intercession and receiving from him. The 3rd level of discernment is actually empowerment, where the Holy Spirit empowers you to engage. And if you don't allow those first 2 levels to get complete, and you move like when you think you're empowered, you're empowered with human power, and human power can backfire, or it doesn't bring the solution. And I know this because I've played it out many times where it hasn't worked out. Even in coaching, it's the same way. I would sit there, and a person, they had a bad attitude problem, I wanted to address it so badly. I couldn't wait to have the opportunity to hammer them. And I would hammer them. But it got to a point in my life where I said, you know what? This is the Lord's. This isn't mine. This is the Lord's child here. And, you know, I've got to wait on him. And yeah, you know, I had one situation where a person, they just systematically stopped doing every dive that they knew. I mean, they couldn't even dive in the water on the side of the pool. Yeah, it was quite, it was amazing. I've never seen that. But I could put a harness on them, and they could do every trick. I could flip them, do all kinds of stuff. As long as they had a harness, I took the harness off, they couldn't do anything. Now, you know, in the past, I felt the only way through that is just to hammer them until they go. Or, you know, hey, you're on scholarship, you know, by the way, you know, we want to yank that money. That might get you motivated, huh? How about waking up tomorrow, you don't get your food or whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, the things you go through as a coach. But we do that with people, and we have to understand that there are levels of discernment that come through love, that there is only one and one way only, and that is through intercession and prayer. So these people that you're ministering to or fulfilling whatever, and you're not seeing change, or they're in your crosshairs, you got to stay in intercession and receive from the Lord of really what's wrong so you can pray specifically. But if he doesn't show it to you, it's okay. Then you just pray in the spirit and go on your day and don't be concerned about it. Amen. Take it from Mr. No Concern here.
Amen.
I can't believe I'm saying that, Jesus. He has done a work in me. Praise you, Jesus. So, but you know, you have to make sure, but make sure you stay in prayer until you get it. And if you don't get it, you just stay in prayer. Intercession is a wonderful thing. It really is. And praying in the Holy Spirit is a wonderful thing. And if you've got that gift, use it all the time. You can't pray in tongues enough. You can't. And you can't pray with your own language enough. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, we just thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your goodness. More than anything, Lord, we just thank you for your love, and we just receive everything that you have for us in that arena. Father, I ask that this word go deep within our hearts tonight, that you would send those to water it. Lord, that it would come to our remembrance, Lord, when it is needed. And Father, I just ask you to fill us up to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, and you give us, Lord, fresh anointings, Lord, that people will be refreshed tonight, Lord. I sense many come in tonight have been weary for different reasons. I ask you to refresh them and to strengthen them. We bless you, Lord. We just thank you for your goodness, and we just give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, just feel free to come up and... Terry and Penny and anybody else that feels led to pray. Okay. Okay, and I think did you put there's a little flyer there, right, by the offering basket, and you can just take a picture of that. Thank you.
I just came in Christ about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I just came off doing Ramadan. I was a Muslim for 25 years. Mm-hmm. I just had an encounter with Christ. And I mean, 2 weeks ago, I needed that word.
Well, I tell you what, man, you're going to be an evangelist.
Yes, sir.
That's amazing. And the reason I'm saying that, you know, it is a process. But not everything that you learn in the other faith, in terms of the discipline and so forth, is negative necessarily. But there's only one true God.
Yes, sir.
And he knows you, I didn't know he hadn't met you, but he wanted to deliver that to you for a specific reason. And, you know, you're a man with a purpose. You're highly talented.
Yes, sir.
I mean, the enemy really did a number on you. I mean, you could have done a lot of things. And I could see how he really diverted you. But God's going to restore those days to you.
Yes, sir.
And just there's a restoration that's going to go on in your life, not just in your life, but in your family even. And you're going to be amazed how God can recover, you know. But just know that you got a tremendous call in your life. And you're going to have a real command of the word of the Lord. It's going to put a hunger within you to want to dissect it and want to know every better part of it. But the thing about it is, you know, the visitation of God is something that apparently you're going to have. It's going to take place in your life. And I've had many of those. I've only seen them twice. Both were in dreams, but it's come to me many, many times. And you'll know that he's in your midst, just so you know that. So I'll tell you how to respond. The best way I can describe it is that you're in an atmosphere of complete peace. It's like he's there. You just know he's there. And the way you respond to the Lord, you say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." It's the best way to approach it. And you'll know, and then the thoughts will start to come into your mind. And sometimes it's like it comes like a rushing river. Sometimes it's just a few. It's just a few words. You do it.
Yeah.